When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Positive heads out there, it's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality in a way that is extremely empowering. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I would like to gift my book, The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance to you at goldenkey.gift, where you can get the audio or ebook as my gift to you by using the code POSITIVEHEAD at checkout.
All right, all you positive heads, welcome. Welcome one and all. I am super grateful that you've joined me today on what is always another magical today. Not each and every day always feels super magical. We can always choose to make it a magical day, but sometimes it's a little harder than others, especially when maybe we've lost a loved one, and maybe that loss came unexpectedly or sooner than we would have expected. And I know that this has been the case for multiple people over the last week or so. I have personally heard about 6 or 7 deaths over the last few days. That seems like a lot in a few day span of time. It always makes me wonder, what is going on astrologically? What kind of soul contracts have we made? What kind of exit plan did these souls choose? Because while it is always extremely hard for us here in the physical still, it is never hard for those who leave. For them, it's magical. For us, it's awful. And so today, I wanted to talk about death and what happens when we die and what a soul experiences on the other side. And of course, I always go to my favorite Dolores Cannon for things like this. She wrote a book called Between Life and Death. And this book is about what happens after we die, and essentially the life that we're living over there on the other side, and all of the different experiences that we have and the things that we get to do, and what our perspective is like once we go to the other side, what that feels like for us. I've personally guided so many clients through a past life regression where they have experienced the death process and what they go through afterwards. And each and every person experiences this in their own individual way. At the same time, the concepts are always the same. They always go to the same place. It can look a little different for an individual, but the concept, the place itself, is always the same. It always feels the same. It always feels the same to be out of the body and to look down on it. And so I'm going to play this little clip today from Dolores Cannon from a transformation conference she did back in 2008. And this clip is called Life After Death. Take a listen.
Okay, when the person goes through the death experience and they're dying, they said the first thing, they feel very cold. Then the next instant, they're standing by the bed looking down at the body. It's that quick. They say it's just like getting up from one chair and sitting down in another chair. You just slide right out of the body. So they're standing next to the bed looking down at the body, and they'll say, gee, I didn't know I looked that bad. And believe me, the last thing they'd want to do is go back into that body. usually it's sick or it's diseased and there's no hope of it ever getting well, they don't want to go back to it. Because the next thing that comes into their mind is, hey, I'm out of there. I'm free. I can go anywhere I want. I can do anything I want. So that's what they want to do. They want to go on. They want to go home, really. It's the people who are left behind are the ones who grieve about it. They want them to stay with them. But do you really want them to be back in a body like that, that most of the time there's no hope for them? It's better to realize to let them go, because when you hold on to it, you're being selfish. It's just for yourself. I'm going to miss them. I want them to be with me. I don't know what I'll do without you, that kind of thing. It's a selfish thing, because really, the parts I'm going to go through is you make a contract when you come in. And in this contract, you also make an exit plan. So all of this is planned before you ever come into the life. So the person is ready to go on. They have completed their mission. They have completed everything they were supposed to do. They don't know this consciously, but it is part of a plan. So the person who is grieving doesn't understand that. It's time for them to go. They are going back home. And you have to continue with your life as part of your plan and your contract. Anyway, the first thing they say is, oh boy, I'm out of here. I'm going to get to leave. I can go home. And I've found you are never alone. This is one of the greatest fears people have. They think when they die, they're going to be alone, going into the great unknown. That's not what happens. You are never alone. You're never alone when you're alive either, but you don't realize that. Because when you come into a lifetime, you have a guardian angel, if you want to call it that, a guardian angel or a guide that is assigned to you specifically. They have to be with you your entire lifetime. They have to take care of you. They have to be there for you. And they love to help you, but they can't interfere. They can only help if you ask for help. And if you do, boy, do they take over. But sometimes it can be a deceased relative that is assigned to you to be your guardian angel. But you do have one. And if your life gets a little complicated, you may have more than one. You can have as many as four, all taking care of different things. And if your life takes a sudden turn in a different direction, sometimes these guides will change places and another one will come in that has more expertise in your field that you're going into. So you always have somebody there. So whenever you actually die and leave the body, you always have someone, I call them the greeters. Someone will come to meet you and take you where you're supposed to go. Now all of you have probably been with somebody dying in a hospital and they see unseen people around the bed. Have you ever had that happen? Usually it's deceased relatives. They see them standing around the bed. This is very real. The doctors and the nurses try to say, well, it's just the drugs or the oxygen deprivation because they're dying. Now, it's very real. And I've had other nurses say it happens a lot, that they will see people there, and you notice they're always very happy. So-and-so is here, you know, and they know they're going to go with them, husband, relative, or whatever it is. So if they aren't there, the guide or guardian angel will be there. But you'll always have somebody to take you where you're supposed to go. So then they're taken to the other side. Now, usually when I'm talking to an audience, I say, how many of you have ever had near-death experiences? There's always people in the audience that say they have had near-death experiences. I don't care what the doctors say, it's very, very real. That I've had enough proof of it in my work, I know it's very real. But in most of the near-death experiences, the person either going through a tunnel or they're going out of their body, they are going toward a huge light. And they never reach that light. They usually are turned back before they get to that light. Usually there's somebody there who says, are you sure you want to go? You know, you have a choice, but maybe it'd be better if you go back. You know, your family needs you, things like that. But sometimes there's someone there to give you a choice if you want to return or do you really want to go on. It's your decision. But whenever they decide to go back, they never go all the way to that bright light. I found out what that bright light is. This is why they don't actually die, because they don't go all the way. The bright light is a huge energy source. You may even want to call it God if you want to, but it's a powerful energy source. And when you actually do leave your body and die, you go through that light. And when you go through that light, the silver cord is severed at that time. You're all attached with a silver cord, our spirit, which is the real you, and the body the entire time you're alive. Because every night you go out of your body. Everybody does. The spirit, the real you, imagine how bored it would get sitting around waiting for the body to wake up. The body's what gets tired. The real you doesn't. And so it's sitting around waiting for you to get up. Okay, let's get on with it. As soon as the body goes to sleep, you're out of there, having all kinds of adventures. You're going to the spirit side, you're talking to your guides and your masters and getting instructions. Or you're off anywhere you want to go in the world, seeing people, looking in on them, whatever you want to do. Or you can go off to other planets, other dimensions. You do this every night, but you don't know it because, well, you're not supposed to know it, for one thing, it'd be too confusing. But the only way you remember is if you have dreams of flying or dreams of strange, unfamiliar places. So we're off having all these adventures all every night. And in toward morning, when it's time to get back to the body, we are connected with the silver cord the whole time. You're reeled in, so to speak. They reel you back in to where you're back in the body again. Then the body has to wake up and you're ready to continue your daily work. So whenever you actually die, you go through this energy source. At that time, the silver cord is severed immediately by the energy. When that happens, you cannot return to the body again. That's the spark of life. Once that spark of life has left the body, it begins to deteriorate immediately. If you ever watch someone die, you know something's gone, it's left. At that point, the body begins to deteriorate. Then you're on the other side and you cannot come back. The only way you have ghosts, you have people coming back and giving messages, apparitions, but it's not the actual person because they can't come back into the body again. So once you get over there, you're met with great love. There is no hell. There isn't. I've done thousands and thousands of cases. There is no hell. Hell is an invention of the church, and you can see why. It was never in the Bible. Something has been invented. There is no hell. A loving God would not do that to people. You are allowed to make all the mistakes you want. You're allowed to come back and do it again and again. You get it right. They don't punish you just because you make a mistake and throw you into an oven. It doesn't work that way. You have to realize you have made mistakes. Earth is a school, but it's a school, you come here to learn lessons, but it's a school where you can't skip a grade, but you can have to repeat a grade. You don't get it right. You have to come back and do it again until you get it right. You can't go from kindergarten to college. It's impossible. You have to learn the lessons, and the lessons are not easy. Earth is a school where you learn emotions and limitations. Those are the two main things, emotions and limitations. Those are not taught on other planets. This is a very challenging planet. So you come here to learn these things. And it's all important lessons. I tell people, everyone has bad things that happen in their life. That's life. But what did you learn from that bad thing? If you learned even one thing, that was the reason for the experience. If you say you didn't learn anything, you're going to have to come back and repeat it again, the same circumstance. It's all teaching us something. And that's what it's all about. It's not easy. Life is not easy.
Not easy at all. Learning these lessons is not easy. And that is why we came. We came to do it the hard way so that we can learn more quickly, so that we have a chance to evolve more quickly and learn the lessons that our soul needs to learn in order to ultimately go back to source. This earth is a school. We come to learn emotions and limitations. We can't learn it anywhere else. When we stay in the peace and serenity of source or another planet where they don't have these things, we don't get to learn these things. It's quite simple. And so we come here to learn all of the different lessons from kindergarten through college. They're not easy. They're never easy. And at the same time, when we can have these experiences that are not easy and learn from them, when we can examine them and understand them and learn to accept them and grow from them, that is the deal. That is why we came. That is the whole point of this process. And the ultimate point in all of these experiences is for us to make a choice in terms of our polarity. Which path do we want to choose? Do we want to go down the negative path, or do we want to go down the positive path? And all of that is determined by our focus, by what we decide to maintain a perspective of after we have all of these different life experiences. How did these lessons for us work out? How did we decide to shape and frame our mind around our experiences? Because as Dolores was saying, there is no hell. Hell is only a concept that was invented by the church and that we create in our own minds. And when we live in a negative focus in life, then it is more than likely that when we die, we will create a negative focus for ourselves, because that is how we lived our lives. But the majority of us don't do that. The majority of us are living positive lives, or trying to, anyway. We're trying to come from a place of love and understanding. And in that, these souls, our souls, every single one of you listening is one of these positive souls. Of course, you're a positive head, right? We're all going to the heaven of our making. What we decide in our mind is the most beautiful heaven for us. And that is going to be based on our own conscious filters. And that is so magical, isn't it? That we get to create whatever we want. And that is the reality here. And it's the reality there as well. Although there, it's way more apparent. Again, I always think of this movie, What Dreams May Come. I feel like I reference this movie all of the time because it is such a good representation of what happens after we die. Robin Williams in this movie, he went to his heaven where it was a painted picture and it was beautiful and the colors were extremely vibrant. And that's the way he created it for himself. And we all get to do this. We all get to create whatever is our version when it is our time to do so, because no one ever goes before it is their time. This is a plan that we made before we came, and we do not understand it in our conscious minds, but our soul does, our soul group knows, and it was planned and understood before we got here. And when we can understand these things in the physical, when we do lose someone, when we miss them so incredibly much, when we can think about it along this grander perspective. And speaking from personal experience, it does make things a little easier. When my mother died when I was 27 years old, I had a really hard time with it. She was really young. I was really young. I had a brand new baby. And I was having a really hard time with it. I just couldn't understand. And of course, I was throwing my fist up at the air and cursing God. But once I understood that she had a plan, that this was bigger than this human experience, that her lessons had been learned, and that it was her time to go. And then when I also realized that I had another angel up in heaven who was going to watch over me and guide me and look out for me, and my daughter at the time, that also made me feel a little bit better. Because not only do we have all of these guardians and guides, we also have our loved ones that pass, and we can call on them whenever we need them. And it doesn't always feel the same. Obviously, they're not in the physical, but they never leave. They are never actually gone. And for myself, This was the one thing that helped me along my spiritual journey to actually connect to this other side, because I wanted to talk to my mom. And so I think that my mom and I made a plan before we came in, and I decided that I was going to pick a mom that was going to leave early, because that was going to fuel my journey. And it certainly did. And so all of these things happen for a very good reason for each one of us individually on our paths. And the question is, what did we learn? The question is always, what did we learn? And hopefully that answer is always, as usual, love. The answer is always love. I love you all so much. I'm going to leave you with a song for today. This is Geometry, Traversing Space. Until next time, I love you all.
Also, before we queue up today's song, as a quick reminder, don't forget to download the Golden Key audio or ebook as my free gift to you at goldenkey.gift using the Golden Key code POSITIVEHEAD. And please, if you enjoy my gift, leave a positive review on Amazon so others can unlock their lives with the help of the Golden Key as well.
Bye.